Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Taking the Lead podcast. We provide discussion which will motivate you to put your place yourself first on your priority list. This is your host, Pamela Burkett-Jones, career strategist, certified coach, consultant, speaker, and professor. My guest for today is Tiffany Westley. Hello, Tiffany. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm so excited to have you on my show. I mean, it's just first, I would like to, for you to tell my audience about you, and then they can understand my feelings of you being on the show, you know, as a guest.
First, I would like to thank you for inviting me to be a part. I am equally as excited to be a part of your show and just to share who I am and how I got to where I am. My name again is Tiffany Westley, and I am the first African-American promoted deputy fire chief in the Arlington County Fire Department's 80-year history. I'm also the first woman to be promoted to this rank in the entire Northern Virginia area. I've been with the fire service. I just celebrated my 26th year on Friday. So I am excited to be able to celebrate my promotion last week as well as my 26th year. I can retire any day, but I am ready to continue the work. I have so much more to do to just continue to inspire and to lead and to show other women that there's a possibility to reach this rank and beyond.
Wow, awesome. You know, and that's why I'm just excited, over the moon, first responder, first female, 80 years. So, you know, I'm going to really dig into that because it's just a big accomplishment. I mean, being deputy chief is a big accomplishment, and being the first female to break the ceiling, oh wow, you know. So I'm just going to ask you, how does it feel? How does this really feel for you?
It's exciting, and it's almost surreal. This mm-hmm. is something I never in a million years imagined that I would reach this rank. It's really surreal. Each time that I was promoted, it was a historic moment. And as I was reflecting over the questions, I thought back to that first time when it was just all tears, and to the next time, which, you know, again, was all tears. To this time, it started as tears, and then it moved to laugh, and then it moved to I was ready to break out into a full-out shout. And so my emotions have been definitely different. Each time.
Okay, let me just see if I could take you back down history memory lane. When you first came on the department as, you know, a firefighter, I guess they call them cadets, right? Just like, or they call them recruits.
And when
you first came on and you had the goal of which, you know, what you wanted to do, and I know as you were going through the academy, what was your sights set on? You know, what did you want to do? What type of history did you want to make for yourself as a young firefighter?
I would say in the beginning, I really didn't have any sights of becoming an officer, not at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. My sights were, you know, completing recruit school because it was very challenging. I came into the fire service with no knowledge of what I was getting into. I pretty much heard an announcement on the radio that said they were looking for men and women. I'm not sure they were looking for women 26 years ago, based on what I went through, but they said they were looking. And so I didn't know any firefighters previous to that point. I had never been in a firehouse. And so this was totally new to me. And my sole reason, I already had my daughter, she was three, and I needed a career.
Right.
And so I jumped into it. And so initially I had no sights of becoming an officer. I knew I didn't want to stay on the back step of a fire truck. I knew I wanted to, you know, go into other areas of the fire department. But honestly, an officer wasn't in my early sights.
And then when you first decided to become an officer, did you like have say, I want to make it to this rank, or I'm just getting, learn my job, and then I'll see from here? Or when did you first start thinking that, okay, I'm going to keep going up? And what inspired you to keep doing, to, you know, start, keep getting promoted?
So captain was my, was the rank that I had in my sights as I started to promote. We started with lieutenants and then captain was next. Well, captain took me a very long time, and it was the absolute most difficult experience probably of my life. I tested well enough to become it's called a banning system, where you're in the highly promotable category. And mm-hmm. the first time I tested, I landed in that category and they didn't promote me. And so I kind of chalked it out. Maybe it was my first, you know, maybe it was because it was my first test. Well, the second time, 2 years later, I did really well, and I was in the highly promoted category, and I still didn't get promoted along with two other females. And I had also put in for a fire marshal position and didn't get that either. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I kind of realized, wait a minute, something is not right here. You know, I've tested just as everyone else. You know, I've kept my nose clean. I've done everything that has been asked for me, and I wasn't getting promoted. And so I actually filed a lawsuit and went on to a 2-year battle. And in the end of that, I filed for discrimination, sex and gender,
mm-hmm.
Race and gender, I'm sorry. And it went to a 3-day trial. And at the end of that, I lost. What's important about that is I now say I lost, but I won, because it taught me so much about myself and so much of who I am and the strength that I have in, you know, inside, that I truly believe if I didn't go through that experience, I wouldn't be sitting here today as a deputy fire chief.
Now, as you say that, what's the one thing that, you know, some of our listeners who may go through and, you know, the challenge and they fight it, but and it's a lesson along the way. What would be one lesson you would say you learned through that about yourself to help you move on?
I truly learned, you know, who I was. Of course, that came with a lot of self-reflection, and it's a hard battle. Because it's lonely, you know, it's a time of where you're just isolated. So you have no other option but to begin to understand who you are and what you've been called to do and your purpose. And not only in the fire service, but I understood what my purpose was in life. And mm-hmm. so I learned truly who I was. And I still say to this day, my feeling is 99, and I hold that number, 99% of the people on my fire department and probably a lot of others would never have been able to get through what I got through. And yeah. I say that because when you're facing that isolation, my home was in foreclosure. Thank God I saved my home, but it was a demoralizing. It was a, you know, at times it was embarrassing. Even though I don't think anybody knew, nobody would have known, you know, that my home was in foreclosure unless I told them. But it was just, you know, I faced all those different emotions going through and even doubting myself, did I deserve to be here? You know, mm-hmm. what wasn't? And then so many things that they just personally attacked my character in court that I had to overcome and just understand that, again, understand who I was as a person.
Wow. You know, and that's great. And then it's going to kind of lead me to, you know, my next question for you is, you know, male dominant organization, you know, a lot of first responders, firefight, police, corrections, all that, they're male dominant organizations. And you went through a court battle. And how did you, you know, your court battle, and even before the court battle, you know, your captors, you were going, you know, through from the recruit to, you know, officer, you still face that challenge and you're still in it because it's still a million. How do you practice, you know, staying grounded in your self-awareness even after what you've been through, and, you know, to, you know, be before and even after you've been through, is for in a male dominant organization, being female, and now you're female deputy chief, so you're in charge.
Yes. I would say it's hard. I'm not going to say it's easy, but I am a woman of great faith. I'm so appreciative to my parents. You know, I was brought up in a two-parent household and Christian household. And I was taught, you know, when you walk into a room, you speak, you meet somebody on the street, you speak. And so my interpersonal skills were here far before I came into the fire service. And so that was one of the biggest things I did not understand, walking into a male-dominated profession and, you know, people not speaking and people not treating me as through the teachings I heard in church, you know. But I still knew who I was, right? Throughout all of this, even though it was hard, and even though up until, and I'm going to be honest and transparent, up until 2017, I used to do everything for the intent and purpose to prove them wrong. Everything I did, every position I applied for, it was only to prove them wrong, right? And in 2017, my first lady said, why do you keep saying that? Because I would say it. I would speak it in the atmosphere. I would say, I did this to prove them wrong. And so she caused me to dig deeper, like, why do you keep saying that? And so I changed my speech, and I teach this, you know, when I go out and teach, and I speak this when I talk to other females. Do it because you know you deserve to be there. And so I changed my whole way I speak in 2017, and I said, so now I do everything that I do, whether I take a promotional test or anything else, it's for me. Right.
Yes.
No longer do I do things. I mean, I went to bomb school only because they said the bomb school would be too heavy and I would never pass. And so I set out, you know, things like that. Did I want to go down range and defuse a bomb? Absolutely not. But I can stand here and say that I'm a nationally certified bomb technician. I can say I did it, but thankfully I'm no longer on the team, you know. But it was just one of those things that, you know, I had set out only because they said I couldn't.
Yeah, and it sounds good that you turned your mirror around and you put more of you doing it for you, not for them. And did you see anything that did you see since you changed your speech in a way? Did you see a difference in when you accomplished it?
Yes, I can see, like, the doors really began to fly open when I turned that speech around. And so that's why I share with pretty much every female that I meet, whether they're interested in fire service or not. And it made it a lot easier because, you know, sometimes when you put that blinder up and it's like this filter that you've put up yourself. So I'm not saying everything was against me, but some of the things I may have put those obstacles in front of my own way because of that filter I had, that lens I had, you know, feeling like I had to prove. So when I took it down and made it, you know, personal, it just changed my whole outlook. It changed the way I went into assignments and how I looked at things.
You know what, Tiffany, I also see that the celebration, when we do that, as far as celebrate, not because we want to prove something wrong, because I can get into that space too, that, you know, I'm going to do it, or people, they don't think I could do it, but I'm going to show them I can do it. And I noticed when I turned around and started really, you know, soul searching, found it that the celebration is so much better. It seems like you accomplished your goal and you're not looking like nah, you know, or like, you know,
exactly.
How we did when we were kids. I told you so. But when you say you're it's more of a party and a celebration, it's more that you could kind of like put it on, I did it. And you're really focusing it inward. And well, me, on myself, and I'm focusing inward and celebrating myself instead of showing them. And then it lasts longer for me. So I noticed that too.
Absolutely.
And I'm glad you brought that up.
Absolutely.
You know, right now we're going to take a real quick break. And I'm going to thank the guests, thank the audience for tuning in as I speak to my guest, Tiffany Wesley. So we'll be right back.
Greetings. This is Dr. Essie McCoy, your podcast host of Dr. Essie Speaks Education. I am elated to bring you a weekly show where I discuss everything about education. That's right. What you want to know, what you don't know, and what you need to know will be aired each Sunday at 5:30 p.m. Get ready, mark your calendars, and tune in to this show as we keep the pulse on education from an award-winning educator. Remember, once again, to tune in every Sunday at 5:30 p.m.
Hello, this is Pamela Burkett-Young, career strategist, proactive life coaching and consultant. Due to the current circumstances brought on by COVID-19, are you finding yourself rethinking your professional life, saying things like there's more to life than what I'm experiencing now, there has to be a better way, or you cannot just keep going down the same road and maintaining any level of satisfaction? You're feeling stuck, overwhelmed, undervalued, and cloudy with uncertainty. Well, I have a new 6-week coaching program. It's called Pinnacle Career Pivot. This program will stir up your passions and develop a strategy to get you moving on to your next. You can contact me by email at contact@proactivelife.com, my website liveproactively.com, or you can call me at 240-682-1343. Looking forward to hearing from you. Thanks for hanging in there with us. We're back with Tiffany Wesley. So Tiffany, we were talking about you moving up the ranks and you know, some of the things, a challenge you faced. And I wanted to ask you a question about, and then some things I understand that I struggled with as I was going to rank, and I'm sure other people struggle as they move, you know, to leadership positions or move up in positions in their jobs. So let me ask you a question. You know, how did you handle your peer turned subordinate relationships as you were going up the ranks?
That's a good question, and I call that, I term that buddy to boss. I actually created a program for that and started going around the country teaching that into fire service organizations and departments because I saw others struggling with transitioning, you know. Mm-hmm. So one day I come in and I'm your buddy, we're joking around, and the very next day I'm promoted. Like, it's literally, they give you your badge and now you're expected to hold people accountable, to show people the way, and that's inclusive of friends, you know, or foes, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so and it's funny when I think back now, and I laugh when I say this. Actually, when I teach, I said, well, I never had those issues because I didn't have many friends. And it may sound kind of funny, but it's true. And I didn't have many friends coming up. You know, I had one female that we came on together, so we're still very close. But I didn't come in to play the games. I was already married. I was married at a young age. I had already had a child, so I didn't come in, you know, to go out to the parties and hang out. I didn't do any of that. And so it made it easier for me to transition into being a officer and holding people accountable, you know. So it's easier when you haven't been out all night at the party, right? Drinking
right.
with them and partying. I wasn't there anyway, so I can come in and still look at you and know that I have a job to do. And so now I started, probably in 2017, I started saying what you permit, you promote, and what you promote becomes your standard. And I say that in every arena that I'm in, no matter whether I'm teaching or just having a conversation.
Wow, that's good. That's good. I mean, you know, and that's much needed, and especially in careers where you're, you know, going to be for a long term, and then you eventually want to move up the rank, and you're going to always have someone that you may shared cubicles, you know, in a
Absolutely.
Business space, or you've gone on scenes, or you rely with them as, you know, and then of course you have conversations about certain things. And sometimes people have, you know, conversations about the boss they currently have. So then when mm-hmm. one of the people become the boss, you know, that friend become the boss, it's hard because you've had conversations with them, and then you get it. So then you understand what that particular supervisor was trying to put across, the manager was trying to put across, because now you're in the position, but that person that you left behind as your peer, they don't understand it because they remember
Absolutely.
You back then, you know, or remember you
Absolutely.
When.
Absolutely. 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 So I can assure you in this position, so I'm the Deputy Chief of Personnel Services, which is everything people-centric. I am so thankful, you know, that I, you know, or even though back then, some days, I'm going to be honest, some days I wish I, you know, could have gone to the party and hung out. But again, I was already married. So, but now in this position, I am so thankful. I'm so thankful
yes.
because there are no stories. There are no, you know, there's none of that that they can pull out and say, yeah, I remember you, you know, you weren't always like that. They can't say that.
Awesome. And, you know, it'll be a different show, but it would be just so nice for, you know, be able to talk to the people who, you know, and give them some pointers and stuff, because I'm sure that's what you do in your talks of how
yes.
to overcome and how to handle situations like that. But we don't have
yes.
enough time, because it's just so much more that I want to, you know, get from you, especially just where you sit now as a female, you know, breaking glass ceilings and you know, moving forward. And so I gotta just ask you a few more questions for my audience and people who are listening. I mean, what's the best word of advice you can give someone, you know, who's trying to achieve goals and make a difference in, you know, like a standard or a glass ceiling, or the way that, you know, instead of saying, oh, it's just like that, and, you know, no women have done it, so we just going to sit here and be it, or no other races have been able to, so we just going to just come do our job and go. So what advice would you give people?
I would say first believe in yourself, right? And so, you know, there were days when I would post, bet on you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you haven't seen it, you know, here I am, I'm in Northern Virginia. I've never seen a woman, whether black or white, in this position. But that doesn't mean don't try, right? Don't go for it. And so it's all about self-reflection and understanding who you are. I'm, like I said before, I'm a woman of great faith. So, you know, a lot of prayer. And I've always done affirmations, probably 20 something years. And even more so, you know, as it became more challenging. So I believe in speaking things into existence, speaking them into the atmosphere. And so I did speak, you know, life into my career and life into, you know, just being able to come to work and do a great job and, you know, inspire people. My position was never to, even I understand that the more people see me in this position, the more people, once you see it, you can believe that it's a possibility. That's what I'm trying to say. So even
okay.
if you've never seen it, just, you know, believe that you can.
Okay. Now let's speak directly to the women that are listening to
okay.
Talk today. What are
okay.
three things that you would tell my female listeners who wish to stand out and break the barriers professionally?
Okay. So the one, which is one of the pieces of advice that was given to me, and I still, you know, carry it, command presence at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And so this can be applied not just, you know, for public safety, but across the board. And when I say, when it was spoken to me, command presence, meaning, you know, as women, we are naturally, you know, we wear our heart on our sleeve and we're emotionally connected to the things that are near and dear and value, you know, things that we hold value to. But you still have to, you know, even if you just speak it quietly, command presence.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do that, that kind of helps me to refocus, redirect, you know, the anger. You know, we've heard the terms of how they term us, you know, the angry black female, or it could be considered a positive for a white male in a powerful position, but for us, it would be considered aggressive or, you know, angry. And so you just whisper in your mind and just say command presence. And so that just helps me to stand up straight and stand up tall, head high, and just remember, you know, here I am. I'm always, whether I have rank, whether I have a bugle on my shirt or not, command presence at all times. The second one I would say is sometimes it's more powerful to remain silent. Right. And I discovered that I used to say, oh, they know I go 0 to 60 real quick. And I used to actually say that and think it was cute. And I thought it was, you know, oh, they know I'll go 0. Then I realized that's not a positive. It's a negative. Because what I was in fact doing was telling them how they could get me off of my command presence statue or whatever. Right. So I began to understand, you know, to pick and choose your battles, right? So when you pick and choose your battles, you understand that I don't have to speak up on everything. You know, being a courageous leader is standing up and speaking when it's appropriate, but it also means remaining silent and sitting down and remaining silent at times. Right. And the third one would be just know and believe that you are capable. Know and believe that you are worthy, that you are valued, that you can do anything that you put your mind to. Once you conceive it, you can believe it, and you can turn a possibility into a reality.
Wow, that's good. That's good. And as we wrap up our show, if you had to chance to do it all over again, what is there anything that you would do differently?
That's a good question, because I often say, you know, just like when I think back over to the battle, to the lawsuit, you know, those things I truly don't regret them, because I think they built me as, you know, the character and all of that. But if I would have changed anything, I would have done a little bit more research in the beginning, coming into this, because, again, I came in green. I think I would have reached out and understood that it's truly a game. It's a game that you're coming into. So I always say, if I don't say anything more, I probably say this the most. If I knew that this was a game that I was playing, if they had told me the rules, you know, maybe I would have been further along. Maybe I would have made deputy chief before 26 years. So if anything, I would say, you know, do your research. And that's, again, that's not just public safety. That's with anything that you go into. It's vitally important to fully research, know what you're walking into. And then, you know, just do your best at whatever you come into.
Wow. So you would have did a little bit more research and then you would have probably seen it. But of course, everything happens for a reason. And I like to ask that question just to, you know, just so we can just reflect back and say, okay, you know, especially for those that are listening, that they, you know, they're at a point now and they're trying to achieve and go up the ranks, and they want to say, oh, get promoted, or, you know, go into leadership in their positions, even if they're not in public safety or whatever, or they're in their corporate America job or even the government. So, you know, what can I do at this point? And just listen to someone that's there already and have been through. But like, we all know it makes us stronger.
Yep. So with that, I would say, you know, now that I'm thinking back to how I answered, I would say find a mentor. Find a mentor. Yep, find a mentor, and it does not have to be in the same. I always tell people, you know, find a mentor in within your discipline as well as one out. You know, you heard me mention my first lady; she's my mentor, and then I also have a fire chief who's a mentor, black female fire chief. So I believe a mentor is critical, because they can help you. You know, they've been there, they've done that. So find a mentor inside and out of your
discipline. That's good. Now, for anybody listening that want to kind of follow you or you know, just do you have, I know that you do some other things as well, but do you have like, can they follow you on social media, you know, anything else that they can pretty much, and it's you, especially if we, you know, some of the listeners are maybe in first responders and they want to just kind of like, just look at you and maybe just follow you as a mentor, you know, from afar, or maybe contact you. Is there a way that they can reach out to you?
Yes, absolutely. So I'm on all of social media, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, pretty much everything as Tiffany S. Wesley. Also have a website, tiffanywesley.com. And then email is Tiffany Wesley, TiffanyWesley@yahoo.com. And so I love to connect. I, especially, you know, I have a passion and a heart for women, of course. And so I do, you know, I have a group me set up for all Black female firefighters from all across the country, and a Facebook page set up with the same name, Soul Sisters in Smoke. And that's just a way for us to stay connected, to inspire. I put inspiring messages. I started out trying to do them daily, but they're not daily. So they can reach out to me on any or any social media form, and I'll respond.
Okay, I love that. Soul Sisters in Smoke, I love that. And then I want to just stress to the listeners, her name, you know, she spelled it out, is Tiffany with the E at the end of her name.
Yeah.
And that's how you, so if you just look for Tiffany without the E, and you may still get a Tiffany Wesley, but it won't be her. So just make sure you put that E at the end of her Y. So Tiffany, yeah. I want to thank you for being my guest today. Of course, now they get to hear why I was so excited to have you in the first place. You just, you know, touch my heart, and, you know, keep doing what you're doing. And I want to, you know, you're an inspiration to us all, you know, and I think that's, you know, it's wonderful. Just wonderful. I want to thank my listeners for, go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, I appreciate you reaching out and doing this, because as a, you know, again, I believe the more people to see and hear, you know, they can understand that it's not just for males, and anybody can come into this profession and be successful.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, I want to thank my listeners for tuning in. Remember, we're here every Thursday at 7 p.m. And if you can't catch it at 7 p.m., it's 24 hours afterwards, so you can just listen to the replay. So if you'd like to reach out to me, you can reach out. My website is liveproactively.com. I'm on social media as Pamela Burkett Jones, and business page is Proactive Life Coaching and Consulting, on Instagram as Live Proactively. Thank you for joining us.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.